A blessed morning, brothers and sisters in Christ and friends. May the Lord bless us as we continue to worship in this manner and listen to His sacred word. This morning, we are going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So may I invite you to turn your Bibles to that chapter if you have not. As we have seen so far, in our study on Paul's first epistle to the Corinthian church, that the church in Corinth was a spiritually well-endowed church. In fact, there are 13 different spiritual gifts found in this church alone. But the church was lacking in one essential quality or virtue, and that virtue is love. The word charity in our King James Version means love. So when we read the word charity, I hope you will put in your mind the idea love, not so much as charity that we define today. So I think it is not coincidental that the great chapter on love appears in a letter to this unloving church. According to commentator Johnson, and I quote him, "The observance of the truths of this chapter would have solved their problems," unquote. What problems do we see in the Corinthian church? Division, immorality, lawsuits, brothers taking brothers to court, people who abuse their Christian liberty by eating in an idol temple, the abuse of the Lord's Supper, and the list goes on. And truly, if the church had observed and had this essential quality, love, it would have solved their problems. But the question is, what about us, New Life, BP Church, and all of us here who are members of this church, and others who profess to be Christians? Are we also lacking in love for God and one another? I think God meant His word recorded to us not just for us to look at the history and the character and the failures of other believers and churches, but it is meant to teach us, instruct us, warn us, so that we do not fall into the same error. And so I hope that as we study 1 Corinthians, that we will not just take it as information and theoretical knowledge, but something that God would use as we open our hearts to Him to speak to us. I want to give you an outline of 1 Corinthians 13 very quickly because we do not have time to cover all the 13 verses. 1 Corinthians 13 could be outlined in this way. Firstly, the preeminence of love, verses 1 to 3. The practice of love, verses 4 to 7. And the permanence of love, verses 8 to 13. In verses 1 to 3, the Apostle Paul shows that love is greater than all spiritual gifts, because without love, gifts are empty. And so he said, "The one who speaks in tongues, whether it be of men or of angels, but who labors without love is as a crashing gong and a clanging cymbal." The prophet who understands the mysteries of God, verse 2, and the Christian who has all faith to remove mountains, speaking using hyperbole here, He said, they are nothing without love. And thirdly, even the believer who sells all he has to give to the poor, and the martyr who endures the flames, profit nothing without love. Without love, all our deeds are worthless in the eyes of God. That's the point here. You may have superb talents or skills, extraordinary faith, and be extremely sacrificial to death, but without love as your motive, the value is zero in God's eyes. It is nothing. Now, if Paul were addressing the modern church today, perhaps he might say something like this to us. You Christians who prove your spirituality by the amount of theological information you can cram into your heads, I tell you that such knowledge by itself proves nothing. And you who affirm the Spirit's presence in your meetings or worship, because there is a certain style of worship, whether formal, traditional, exuberant, or spontaneous, if your worship are not expressions of love, you are spiritually bankrupt. In verses 4 to 7, Paul shows how love is greater than all spiritual gifts because of its selfless characteristics. The Greek word for charity here is agape. And it means a caring, self-sacrificing commitment which shows itself in seeking the highest good of the one loved. And our Lord Jesus Christ, in his sacrificial death on the cross, is the epitome and embodiment of this kind of love described right here in 1 Corinthians 13. And then he moved on to verses 8 to 13, where the apostle shows that love is greater than all spiritual gifts and other Christian virtues because it outlasts them. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And in verse 8 he says, charity never faileth. Prophecies will fail, tongues will fail, but not charity. Due to lack of time, we are going to focus mainly on verses 4 to 7. Verses 4 to 7. And I'd like us to read these verses again. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7. All the four verses, let us read together. Ready? Begin. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, may your Holy Spirit open our eyes and our hearts to behold the wondrous love of our Savior towards us. And as we behold the beauty of the love of Christ, may thy Spirit stir within our hearts the desire to be like him. Speak to us, we pray, through thy word. For we ask this in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. In these four verses, love is not so much defined as described, and it is not so much theoretical as practical. Paul, you will see in these verses, shifts back and forth between saying what love is and what it is not. And the first pair of characteristics you will see is positive. Then come four pairs of negative characteristics, followed by two more pairs of positive characteristics. And throughout these four verses, love is personified. Love is personified. And the brief explanations I'm going to give you this morning on these verses reflect the meanings of the Greek words used by the apostle here. Now, we are all prone to apply verses like these to others. But I ask each of you to forget about everyone else and ask God this morning to apply these verses to you, to me. And take your own ECG on love. This morning, let us ask God the Spirit to check and examine our spiritual heart. How is your spiritual heart doing? So let's move on now to the first characteristics of love described. Verse 4, charity suffereth long. Charity suffereth long. The term translated long-suffering means patience with the irritating and even hurtful behavior of others. Do you find this kind of behavior in the church? No, right? Not in churches, right? Churches are supposed to be a very loving place to be in, isn't it? But the truth and reality is that that is not always true. And therefore, when we come together, even as a church, you might think you don't need to exercise long-suffering. You need it. Because there will be irritating, even hurtful behaviors of your fellow brothers or sisters. And this word means that you bear with others' imperfections, faults, and differences. You give them time to change, room to make mistakes without coming hard on them. And you are able to do this because the Spirit's work in your hearts enable you to forgive and pardon the wrongs committed against you. The Christian who forgives and is long-suffering with others has learned to trust God to protect him and vindicate him before others. Patience. How are you doing? Are you patient? If you're married with your wife or husband, with your children, with your parents, are you patient with your fellow workers in church ministry? Think about it. Isn't God incredibly patient with all of us? Psalm 103, verse 13 to 14 says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. How compassionate and patient God is with you and me. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So God is long-suffering, patient. And we, his children, are to be like him. Well, God is love, and therefore God is patient with us. The next characteristic is, and is kind, verse 4. And is kind. Well, long-suffering is a passive, non-reactive quality. Kindness is an active demonstration of goodness to others. Kindness is willing and gracious service to those in need. But kindness actually is a very simple quality. It can take the form of an errand run, a word spoken, a meal cooked, or a chore done for one who is not able. Kindness may express itself in a look, a gesture, a message, a listening ear, or even just a simple courtesy. And do you realize that God is described as being both patient as well as kind? He holds back his wrath, that's his long-suffering. He pours forth his mercies, that's his kindness and his goodness. So thank God for his patience, and then be patient with others. Praise God for his kindness, and then be kind toward others. Start with your family, and then move on to your neighbors, your co-workers, your fellow students, and even strangers. Now the rest of verse 4 lists three prohibitions, each against a manifestation of pride. And so Paul says, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. And together they express the humility of love. So that's the second quality of love, or characteristics of love, humility. Charity envieth not. In other words, it is not jealous of the success of others. Envy is a despising of those who either have more or do better than us. And we can envy many things: a person's position in life, his possessions, his appearance. We can even envy another person's spiritual gifts or service for God. But love, Paul tells the church in Corinth and us, love does not envy, because love is glad for what the other person has. There is no rivalry or competition in love. But envy may cause us to treat others in wrongful ways. For example, Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery because they envied him. The gospel writers tell us that it was out of envy that the chief priest handed Jesus over to be crucified. So envy caused them to treat others in wrongful ways. Envy is a poison which eventually consumes the person who chooses to harbor it in his or her life. And therefore, the Word of God warns us in Proverbs 14:30, and it says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Envy rots the bones. So, beloved, beware of an envious spirit. Next, charity vaunteth not itself. In other words, love does not brag or boast. And this means to act and talk in such a manner that you draw attention to yourself. So if envy is desiring what another person has, boasting comes from the desire for others to see what you have. And the sad fact is that boasting usually prejudices people against us and thereby limits opportunities to serve where we might be a genuine help. And God tells us in Proverbs 27, verse 2, that if praise is in order, Let it come from someone else. Someone else, not yourself. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. So charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Love is not proud. It does not put on airs. In other words, and the word in the original actually means to inflate. You know, inflate a balloon, inflate a basketball, inflate your car tires when they are flat. That's the idea of the word here, puffed up. So it is the act of puffing yourself up in your own eyes until you feel so superior to others that you cannot possibly love them. In fact, you look down on them. And this kind of pride breeds a critical and judgmental spirit that has no patience with others and no desire to act kindly. This is the attitude that says, if I may dramatize it, I am somebody and everybody needs to understand that. Instead, the Bible tells us here in this chapter that the right attitude should be, what I am and what gifts and opportunities I have by the grace of God. I am only important as I fit into God's plan, doing what He wants me to do to serve others and to glorify Him. So love is not proud. This is the humility of love. In continuing his descriptive list of the characteristics of love, the Apostle Paul went on to say, charity doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Verse 5. Now all these descriptions taken together are the equivalent of considerateness. Considerateness. Love is considerate. To be considerate means to have a high regard for the character, needs, and feelings of others. Let's look at each of these characteristics mentioned in verse 5. Charity doth not behave itself unseemly. For a believer not to behave unseemly means he's considerate of the sensibilities of others. His behavior is always appropriate. How? Well, he's quiet when he should be quiet. He speaks when he should speak. His appearance is not too gaudy or drab, but always tasteful. He thanks people for kindnesses, shows deference to older people, and demonstrates respect toward his parents and spouse, both in private and in public. He is friendly, welcomes guests, shows sympathy in sorrow, and rejoices with those who rejoice. Along with being appropriate in behavior, a loving person is also tactful. He has trained himself to grasp the delicacy of a situation and say and do the most fitting thing. So he gauges the personal nature of his comments to others based on the level of friendship and intimacy or familiarity he enjoys with them. He always avoids embarrassing others for their shortcomings, even when they are demonstrated in public. Love is considerate. How are we doing with this characteristic of love? And seeketh not her own. In addition to being considerate of the sensibilities of others, the loving believer is considerate of the desires of others. And it always considers what would be best for others and for the cause of Christ, seeketh not her own. Love is not selfish. Love is not easily provoked. Love is not quick to take offense. And I think in this regard here, all of us have a lot of work to do, isn't it? Because we are usually very quick to take offense by the remarks of others and so forth. But love is not easily provoked. And may God help us, because we have some super sensitive Christian in our churches today. Just a little wrong comment, and they disappear from the church. Super sensitive. But love is not easily provoked. If you love God, and if God's love is poured out in your heart for others, you will not be easily provoked. In other words, we can say that love has thick skin, and it refuses to have a short fuse or fly off the handle. And I know what that means, because I used to have very short fuse. Sometimes, still do have. By the grace of God, under managing it by His grace, but having a short fuse or flying off the handle is not love. We can say that a bad temper actually reveals an unloving spirit. So guys, brothers, how are we doing here? I know women also have bad temper, I know. But I think this is a problem that afflicts mainly the male gender. Short temper, flying off the fuse. Proverbs 19:11 says, "A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense." In other words, the Word of God in Proverbs 19:11 tells us to bear with one another in love, and it is to your glory to overlook an offense. That's what God says. It's to your glory. Love thinketh no evil. Love does not keep a record of wrongs suffered. When others fail, love thinketh no evil. How? It will not write off the person who sins or make mistakes. And the word Paul uses here literally means to count the evil, to credit it to someone's account. So in some translation, you have love keep no records of wrong, rather than love thinketh no evil. If you are an accounting person, you know what it means, isn't it? To keep a record of wrongs is the long-term decision to hold on to bitterness and resentment, to choose not to forgive another person. So you put it in your ledger, all the wrongs done against you. And unlike the government saying your audit only need to keep 7 years, you keep it longer than that. For as long as you live, perhaps, I hope not. But that's the idea here, to count the evil, to credit it to someone's account. So it is the difference actually between the quick flare talked about earlier and the slow burn. Not easily provoked is a quick flare, right? You fly off the handle. But here, thinketh no evil, or keep no records of wrong, has the idea of the slow burn, keeping a record of wrongs, rather. So in short, love does not store up resentment and bears no malice. Love forgives all offenses and keeps no records. And beloved, isn't this the way God loves us when He forgives our sins in Christ? Can you imagine if God were to keep a record of our sins against Him? How terrible judgment day would be. There would be probably an endless list of sins that we commit against Him. But God wipes away all our sins when He forgives us in Christ. And we read in Psalm 133:4, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who can stand? But with you is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. And again, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that God reconciled us to Himself through Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Not counting our sins against us when He forgives us in Christ. And God made Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And so He exchanged our sin for righteousness. How amazing God's love is towards sinners like us. Now, the next three pairs of characteristics of love has to do with the positiveness of love. And they are found in verses 6 to 7. Charity rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. An important part of being positive is rejoicing in the right thing. To find pleasure in any tragedy, injustice, falsehood, or outright wickedness is an offense against God. The believer's rejoicing is to be in the truth, which means what is right, honest, specifically what God says in His Word. And Scripture leaves no room for a watered-down Christian love that accepts and believes anything with regard for biblical truth. True love does not divorce itself from tough moral choices. True love, I say that again, does not separate itself from tough moral choices. Let me give you a quick example. A young couple approach a pastor and wants to get married. One is a Christian and the other is not. The pastor tried to share Christ with a non-believer, but he has no interest in Christianity. The Bible forbids mixed marriages between Christians and non-Christians, and so the pastor tells them he cannot officiate their wedding. And the couple told the pastor that he is unloving. Pastor, you're unloving. They ask, how could you, Pastor, judge us like this? Let me ask you a question. Is the pastor being unloving when standing for the truth? Wouldn't it be wrong for the pastor to disobey God and marry them? How can the pastor lovingly unite them in marriage when it is against God's will? And these are true examples because I have to tell some couples that myself. I'm sorry, I cannot marry you. So love rejoices in the truth. You must love in the truth. Next, love beareth all things, believeth all things. So love does not spread the evils of others. It keeps things to itself. Love is not unduly suspicious of others, but instead give others the benefit of the doubt. And love beareth, believeth all things. Now, I want to say that love is not stupid or naive. After mentioning these two points, that love is not unduly suspicious of others, but instead give others the benefit of the doubt. But love is not stupid or naive. It does not believe an obvious lie or blindly puts its trust in untrustworthy people. But love chooses to believe the best about people until proven otherwise. So love does not listen to slander. Love lives by the principle that any sin supposedly committed by another must be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses before he will eventually consider the matter worthy of his attention. Where do you get that? 1 Timothy 5:19. And love hopeth all things. Love displays an optimistic confidence. The believer who wishes to live a life of love must hope in all things. He does not become despondent, cynical, listless when things do not turn out as he hoped they would. And then he throws up his hand. Well, nothing ever works out for me, so I might as well just quit trying. True love, agape love, is not like this. Love is unabashedly optimistic. Love does not dwell on the problems of the past, but looks forward to the future with confidence and grace. And finally, love endureth all things. Love endureth all things. The word endures is a military word meaning to sustain the assault of an enemy. So it has the idea of holding up under trial or of perseverance in spite of difficulties and challenges. It means, in short, that love hangs in there. It is not just a passive, stoic attitude. It is a positive, triumphant spirit that sticks it out. So these are the characteristics of love described in 1 Corinthians 13, called commonly the love chapter. My brothers and sisters, are you taking your ECG on love? What's the result as God examines your spiritual heart today? Now, as you evaluate yourself according to the agape love described here, you should have some strengths, I believe, and some weaknesses as well. If you only have strengths listed, you are either very loving or you are not being honest with yourself. If you have only weaknesses listed, then you are either very humble or you are not giving yourself enough credit. There should be a realistic balance between your areas of strengths and also of your weaknesses. Someone has suggested taking your own name and plugging it into verses 4 to 7. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? It means this. You replace the word charity with your own name. So, for example, if your name is John, let's use another name. If your name is Akau, nobody named Akau here. Okay. You say, Akau suffereth long and is kind. So every time you see the word charity, you replace with your own name. All right? Try and do that right now. Give you 1 minute. Replace your own name and read verses 4 to 7. Try it. What is the purpose of this exercise? It is to see how you measure up with the characteristics of love described here. If you are like me, you won't go very far before you get discouraged and say, yeah, right, if only that were me. I'm sure if you put your name and read it aloud in front of your wife or your husband, they will say, yeah, right, that's not you. I think a better suggestion is to take Jesus' name and pluck it in wherever you see the word charity. So let's do that. How about it? Let's read together. Substitute the word charity with the word Jesus, beginning from verse 4. All right, ready? Let's read together. Jesus suffereth long and is kind. Jesus envieth not. Jesus vaunteth not himself, is not puffed up, doth not behave himself unseemly, seeketh not his own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Can you see that Jesus is the only one who truly fulfills this beautiful picture of love described here in 1 Corinthians 13? Only he, none of us. But we are to be like him. So rather than get discouraged over your own shortcomings, cast yourself upon the Lord who is perfect love. Meditate on the beauty of his character and let God do his work in your life, transforming you evermore into the likeness of Christ by the power of his Spirit. And that is the secret to growing in agape love. The year 2020 is going to be a year of transition for our church. And this is going to be a time where God is going to look at all of us in new life and he's going to say, do you love me and love one another? If you do, how are you doing when you go through the inconveniences for 2020 as a church? How are you bearing with the some changes we have to make to our worship services and our Sunday school classes and our choir practices and so on? Love does not exist in a vacuum. There might be hiccups, there might be problems, but may God help us to really show our love to him and also to one another by manifesting any of these characteristics when it is needed. And may he be glorified as we do so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us. We fail in many of the characteristics here, and thou knowest our hearts. Please forgive us where we have failed. Please help us to rise up in faith, to depend on your Spirit for grace, and to meditate on the beauty and character of our Lord Jesus, who is perfect love. And transform us, O Spirit of God, into his likeness. For your glory we pray. Amen.